Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius Tactheratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
In uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
for a
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Odyssey, Rockfin, Band.video, or you are listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks so much. We appreciate your amazing support. We know that you got a lot of options out there. You could be listening to just about anything right now. And you're not. You're choosing to listen to this. You must either really like this show or you must want to get yourself extra frustrated to start the day. I don't know. I promise we're gonna get into the bottom of some good stuff on this one, because we've got one of my favorite people in the world with us. But first, listen, this show can't happen without the amazing support of our sponsors. So True Hemp Science, I'm telling you, they're making the best hemp-based CBD out there. It's a little company based in Austin, Texas. We like that. They support us. They understand the fight that we're up against. They sent me a couple bottles. If you're looking for hemp-based CBD, the number 19 and the number 41 are fantastic for that. They'll also give you a little bit of energy to kind of get you up and going. But they've got a new product, really a product that doesn't get too much play out there. I think people are starting to figure it out, though. It's called Bioactive Silicate. It's available at truehempscience.com/macroaggressions. It's like $40. It's a 2-ounce bottle of liquid. You'd buy yourself a 1-gallon jug of distilled water. You take this thing, dump it in, add it, shake it all up, drink 2 ounces in the morning, 2 ounces in the evening. And it, what it will help you do is alkalize your body. Get your pH balance down to 7.0, which is really where we need it. None of us are, well, more than likely, none of us are at that level. And when you start monkeying with the pH balance of your body, it allows things to grow in there that shouldn't be growing. Bioactive silicate, if you took me about 5 weeks to go through my entire jug of it. So it takes a little while. It's about the easiest thing in the world you can do. I mean, it quite literally takes you 5 seconds. So do yourself a favor. Go take a look. Look for bioactive silicate. Like I said, it's about $40. It will kill bacteria and biofilm. It will detoxify the body. It alkalizes the body. It helps joints, tendons, tissue repair, flexibility, skin health, wrinkle prevention, sleep regulation. Does quite a bit. And for $40, you really can't go wrong. So do yourself a favor. Link will be in the description. truehempscience.com/macroaggressions. And on your way out, use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money. And look, the whole point of this show is being proactive. Talk about things before they happen. Give yourself an opportunity to plan accordingly. We have supply chain issues. We have a looming food crisis that's being caused by these maniacs in Europe. We have gas issues. We have death problems. diesel engine fluid that's added to diesel fuel in trucks that's running in low supply. We've got problems. We've got supply chain problems. And I don't want to be the guy that comes in and starts screaming like Alex Jones or anything like that. But look, I would be doing you a disservice if I wasn't crystal clear about the dire situation that we are in. My Patriot Supply has been nice enough to build us a landing page called preparewithmacroaggressions.com. You can click there and take care of just about all of this in about 10 minutes. You can get yourself a 4-week supply of food. You can get yourself a 3-month supply of food. You can get yourself survival coffee that'll last you for 25 years. I mean, you may not last 25 years, but your coffee will. Water purification, air filtration, sleeping bags, camping gear, electrical generation, whatever you need, they've got it. So do yourself a favor, go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com, do a little shopping, take a look, see what you think. If you're already set up, if you've got yourself stored with food and you're ready for this because you're properly paying attention and you're being proactive. Well, is there somebody else in your life who is not at that level that you might want to buy them a couple containers of food and have it sent? If so, think about them as well. Preparewithmacroaggressions.com is the website. Look, if you don't use my supplier, use your own. Go buy extra food at the grocery store every time. I really just want to make sure that everybody is taken care of so that when the wheels come off of this train, we are not left to battle mutants in aisle 5 of your local grocery store. Well, it's that time, everybody, to bring on one of my faves. And I mean that. And I mean that with all of my heart. Billy Ray Valentine, he is the host of The Infinite Fringe. He is the co-host of America Unplugged, and he is coming to us from the Bronx, New York. What's going on, Billy Ray? How are you, man?
What's up, buddy? How you doing? It's a pleasure to be on with you.
I'm doing good. But you know, one of the reasons why I always like talking to you is I feel like, and this probably has more to do with your physical location inside a big city, but I always feel like you probably have a better idea of what's really going on in the city, as opposed to someone like me that's kind of out in the suburbs and I can read about it and I can, you know, see it on TV and everything.
Right.
But you walk outside of your door and you're in it. So what's right. The vibe going on in New York in the summer of 2022?
You know, it's hard to call it. It's different with everyone, even though the thing that everybody is experiencing is this crunch with the money. Right. You know, inflation, the whole deal, like you go down the block to go buy some groceries. It is expensive. Like, I mean, next level, it's at least $30, $40 more than you would spend regularly. And that goes a long way. You know, I live in a working class neighborhood. You know, everybody works. Everybody has a job, but it's not like you're making a ton of money. You know, so everybody's struggling out here and it's noticeable. Everyone talks about it, right? So it's not a hearsay. It's not what you're hearing on the media. No, people are literally experiencing these things. Yeah. You know, that being said, I do see people going out. People are at the restaurants. They are packed, you know, okay. In the city anyway. Even out here in the Bronx, there's a lot of restaurants that that people like to frequent that are trendy now, you know. But with gentrification and everything that's going on, you see a lot of different places pop up, and these places are filled up, you know, especially if they do the right type of promotion. So people are going out. People are having fun. They're trying to, you know, people over here in New York took it hard, right? The pandemic, they were like, you know what? We're going to stay inside. A lot of people had that mentality. So now they're like, hey, let's get out there and do what we can do when we can do it. You know, so I mean, of course, I live in New York. I don't know what the pulse of the rest of the country is because I haven't physically been there. I can read about it. I think everybody in the United States is feeling this crunch, right? Is feeling something because it's insanity what's going on. I never thought I'd see something like this in the United States, right? It's almost like we're a third world country because we are at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and now the symptoms are becoming more evident. That's all it is. Like it's popping up. It's like you're sick and symptoms are popping up. That's what's going on with the United States right now. And you can feel it here in New York for sure.
Yeah. Well, New York has always been a bit different. It's always had its own sort of economy, like the right. New York City, you know, where people would say, well, you can make $60,000 a year in LA, but if you took that same job in New York, they'd have to pay $85,000 or whatever. So everyone right. always knows that the money is off in mm-hmm. New York City, always has been. And I was wondering, you know, how that is impacting people's ability to go out and do things, or mm-hmm. is it, well, listen, you know, we're going to the free places. We're going to the park, you know, is the park filled, or, you know, are the places like that, or are we seeing people that are actually getting out there and doing the things that require them to spend some money? Obviously, I think there's a segment of New York that's never going to be really price sensitive. They've got money and it's right. not going to matter. But for the, like you said, the working class boroughs and places that where everyone's got themselves a job. I mean, is this changing the free time, the recreation time? Are we seeing this more filled up in way? You know, let's go open up the fire hydrants and let's go play in the parks and let's go play basketball. Let's go right. do all the things that don't cost anything, considering everything else costs 30% more these days. So I'm just curious how that vibe has gone. Is there a camaraderie, or is it still the same sort of like go fuck yourself New York City kind of vibe?
I mean, it's a little of both, right? It depends on who you talk to. Right? Like I was walking down the block here, and like you said, I live in the Bronx, right? It's a heavily a minority community where I live, you know. Back in the day, like in the 80s, when I was a child, you know, they used to open up the fire hydrants and everybody used to have a party, right?
Right, 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 right.
And we stopped seeing that, right, for a while. I think when Giuliani yeah. came into office, you know, a lot of that stuff started fading out. But I'm walking down the street and somebody broke open the fire hydrant and they were having a barbecue out there. And I mean, people were having fun, like the kids were losing their minds. And I'm like, whoa, that's a throwback. You know, I almost took a picture of it and I didn't. I think I will because they're doing it again.
Yeah.
So I'll take a picture and I'll send it to you.
That's such a New York like stereotype that we non-New Yorkers have of New right. York City, that there's right. like, we're just going to crack those fire hydrants open and people are going to be dancing in the streets and everything.
It's true though. You know, it really
does happen.
It was true back in the day for sure. And if you're lucky enough to catch a glimpse of it nowadays, it still happens from place to place, depending.
Good. It should happen. It should yeah. be fun. It's we fun. Should be enjoying yeah, this stuff. We should, right. we got enough stress in our life, and especially for the kids. God knows these poor kids have been, they've been cooped up. They've been masked right. up. They've been injected up. They've been, you know, tranny story time and all this Ugh. Stuff. Like, holy crap. Let's let these kids go outside and go play in the streets and play in the parks and go ride bikes and do all that stuff. And, you know, right. I love to see it.
So people are doing a lot of that, but you know, people make more money here than they would anywhere else in the country, but in the majority of the country, of course. But things are priced more here.
I know, right? Patrick Ewing told me.
What did he tell you?
Remember when Patrick Ewing said, "Well, we make a lot of money, but we spend a lot of money too." That was his excuse for during the NBA lockout, and everyone's like, "Oh, don't say that."
I remember Patrick Ewing. That was back when the Knicks were good.
Yeah.
Back when I used to enjoy watching basketball. But regardless, back
when you guys got your frozen draft envelope. I'm yes. sorry, I'm taking that one to my grave. I'm convinced.
Thank you. Anyway, so yeah, like I mean, the you know, things are more expensive, of course. But like I said, I think people are still trying to find a way to do it. People are going out and enjoying. I know I could tell you I do it, you know, and I'm not even working right now. You know, I'm living off of savings, but I try to get out, you know, and we go to restaurants and you know, we go to movies, you know, we try to do everything that we can, because in reality, like, I mean, it's here. We should enjoy it. What's money for if you can't, in my opinion, you know, but we try to be frugal, you know, at, you know, when we're, maybe frugal is not the right word, strategic when we're out shopping, you know, and try to get, you know, lower. I go to like three different supermarkets to get different things right. because some things are on sale somewhere that aren't on sale in other places. This wasn't a reality for me, in particular for me, because I've been very loose with money. That's not a good thing, but it's just, it's something I never really concentrated on, you know? And now I have to. I've been forced to do it because of these conditions. And quite frankly, I don't think it's going to get better anytime soon. You know, so it's the new reality. If we want to talk about the new normal, right, that this is the new normal for Americans. We are no longer that economic superpower. I mean, it's been that way for a long time, but now we're really starting to see it. You know, and here in New York is no different, but people are getting out, which I think is fantastic. Like I hear Gerald Celente on David Knight often. Mm-hmm. And I love Gerald Celente.
Me too.
I love David Knight too.
Me too.
Gerald Celente is from the Bronx, you know. But he talks about that. You go to restaurants, you don't see anybody.
You see the white shoe boys.
Very good.
In the boardrooms.
In the boardroom. But so he's like, you don't see anybody at these restaurants. I'm having a different experience. I'd love to talk to him about it because I'm like, he's like, you go to a restaurant in Manhattan, you're not going to find anybody. I'm like, that's like, what restaurants are you going to? Because I go to restaurants in Manhattan and they are packed. Wow. Lines outside. You know, like, I mean, it's that way, in particular in the summer. New Yorkers like to get out, you know, and do things in the summer. Plus, it's freaking New York, right? If you're not going to find something to do here, you're not going to find it. You know, so people are getting out and doing things. But, you know, there is an obvious pinch. Something's different.
Yeah. Well, you guys, you know, we be careful what we wish for, right? We had Andrew Cuomo, got rid of him. They bring in Kathy Hochul, and she might be worse. You get Bill de Blasio, we get rid of him, you bring in Eric Adams. He might be worse.
He's definitely worse, man.
So what are we doing? How is Eric Adams, this guy who was brought in to be, I don't know, it's out of central casting. I'm going to be tough mayor. I'm going to be tough on crime. I'm going to look good. I'm going to be fit. I'm going to be a black guy in a tough city. I'm going to have all these tick all these boxes of, right, you know, all these things, be a vegan, come out here, be brash and talk all this shit. This guy is fucking hated in New York City. Is he not? He seems, every idea he has seems to be the exact opposite of what the people want. Am I misreading this?
No, I don't know a lot of people that like him, to be honest. And the guy just started.
I don't know. I normally get at least a little runway,
right,
but they immediately start hating him right off the bat. What's this guy? What's his problem?
Well, he's hateable.
Yeah.
He's very hateable. Like, I don't know how he got elected, to be honest. You know, he's not exactly the most charismatic guy in the world.
Yeah.
You know, he can barely speak the language. You know, I'm like, okay, what are we doing here? Where's the attraction? You know, but whatever. No. I think a lot of it started with the NBA situation. You know, when I think it was Kyrie Irving that he didn't want to allow him to play. So a lot of people were like, wait a minute, it doesn't make any sense if you're letting people play from out of state, you know, that are potentially may or may not have taken the injection, but you want to prove a point with this. That was very evident. You know, that was very evident to a lot of people. I'm like, what is this guy doing? You know, and he seems like a dictator. You know, he seems like a my way or the highway type thing. And some people like that, but a lot of people don't. You know, so I don't subscribe to him. I didn't vote for him. I don't vote. You know, I just don't. Like, I'll vote for you know, maybe something on a very, very local level, if I am motivated to do so, but I'm not voting for freaking Eric Adams, dude. I'm sorry, right? I'm just not doing it. You can come at me and tell me, well, because you didn't vote, that's the reason these people are getting, I don't subscribe to that either.
No.
So I'm not doing that. I'm not voting for anybody running for president. I did it one time in my life. And that was Ron Paul, you know, yeah. That was it. Right. That was it. So, I mean, you have to have a certain level of integrity and morality, whether you agree with everything that Ron Paul has said or not. And I don't agree with everything. At least I could say, you know what? This guy is worth getting up and casting a ballot for.
Yeah.
Given my choices. Right. With Eric Adams and Bill de Blasio, look who we've had here. It's like a picture of fascism. Right. That's going a little far, but still.
Well, I don't know. With Bill de Blasio, I mean, you put a little Hitler mustache on him and he's tall. He kind of looks more like Charles de Gaulle, but, you know, he could be a fascist for sure. Put some tan, put him in a khaki outfit. And right. Yeah, for sure.
It's Eric Adams, right? De Blasio, Bloomberg, Giuliani, dude, come on. You know, it's like, it, you know, it's been crazy out here and, you know, Giuliani was considered New York's mayor for some time because of 9/11, you know, and he was a hero. The mayor of the world was what they painted him as, you know, coming out of here. We hated him here.
Yeah.
Okay, what's up?
No, I just I'm probably nodding in agreement. Yes, I don't like the guy either. Yeah, I mean, he lost me when his hair started running down the side of his head. Remember when it was like melting, and he was
when he was having a press conference in an alleyway somewhere. You know, after he said it's going to be in a hotel, it was in an alley between a porn shop and God knows what else. You know, then he started leaking goo from the side of his head.
It was the Four Seasons auto body. It was like, someone's like, quick, go make reservations at the Four Seasons in Manhattan. And the guy's like, okay, grabs the phone.
We got this. Four Seasons.
He's like, are you guys available? Some guy's like, yeah, there's Vinny over at Four Seasons. He's like, are you available? Because we need to raise. Like, well, you could use our garage if you want, like the parking. They're like, fucking do it. Let's do it. Everyone's like, no, the Four Seasons Hotel, you retards. Now we're out. And Giuliani's melting out in the sun. Oh my God. That was just peak Trump insanity. That was perfect.
Gigantic crap show that was, man. I'll never forget it, brother. Like, I remember when I saw it, I saw it after the fact, and I thought it was a joke. I'm like, this is a parody, right?
I mean, it is, but it isn't. You know, it is a joke, obviously, but it wasn't.
It was the real deal, but I get you. Anyway, go ahead.
So if I'm hearing this correctly, you're saying Eric Adams is responsible for breaking up the Brooklyn Nets, if I'm reading that correctly.
Eric Adams is responsible for a lot of things. Eric Adams is responsible for giving his brother a job, like a freaking six-figure, seven-figure job. I know it was a big pay raise from what he had before. And he never had any experience in whatever he gave. He just brought him in, put him in the government. I mean, nepotism, perfect. Right? That's what happens. And I don't know. I don't like this guy as far as I can throw him. I'm not a fan of him. He's they're talking about putting sensors in the subways.
Part of the liberal world order that they accidentally let the cat out of the bag about.
Right.
Sensors in the subway for what?
To detect guns, quote unquote.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You know, and we had that incident that went down a couple of months ago, you know, with the subway shooter. I don't remember his name, but that was the catalyst for it. I mean, they were planning this way before, but, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste, you know, so they take it and run with it. But this is going to be a reality here in New York, you know, and people are going to support it in large part, I think. You know, because no guns, guns are bad, right? So, I mean, we have to figure out a way to keep people safe. And that's what the people are sacrificing their freedoms for safety. And they're really not realizing that they're sacrificing their freedom, right? They don't look at it that way. I get it. A lot of times I get, well, if you don't have anything to hide, what's the problem?
Yeah.
And I don't understand that mentality.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't have anything to hide. You can come in my home. And check whatever you want, but I have to invite you in.
Right.
You can't just come in and do that crap. I don't want you in my home. You know, if I decide that I want to let you in, then come in. And that doesn't mean you get to check my shit either. Right. That means you get to sit in my living room. Right. So, I mean, I don't have any guns. I don't have anything here. But that doesn't mean that gives you the liberty to check it. Right. So, I mean, and that's what's happening. That's what's going to happen here. We got cameras on every freaking corner, right? There is no reasonable expectation of privacy in New York City. No. And now when you go to the sub, I was just thinking, this is going to sound really, I don't know if it'll sound weird or whatever. Sometimes I don't want to talk to people, right? And I'm in the subway, right? And that's the best time not to engage, right? I put on my headphones. I'm listening to Macroaggressions. No lie. Well, you know this. So I'm listening to your podcast. I'm sitting down. And I get a text. Before, I used to be able to ignore that text. I didn't get that text. I was underground. That's out now. You're underground. You're going to get the text. You're going to get the text. You may not be able to make the phone call, but you're going to get the text. And then that's changing too. You know, you're going to be able to get the phone call. And this sounds very... You know, and in some parts, it would be reasonable because, you know, an emergency might happen. You know, these things have their benefits, right? But it's like the world is closing in on you. Yeah. You know, more and more and more. There's not a place you will go that you won't be reached. There's not a place you will go that you can't be tracked. You know, there's not a place you will go that what is on your person isn't fully known. This is the reality we're facing, and we know this, right? We've read 1984, we've read Brave New World, we've seen all this stuff, but now it's coming to pass. It's happening. What's up?
I was just thinking we owe the Unabomber a gigantic apology. Ted, listen, Ted.
He was onto something, wasn't he?
You were right. We were wrong. It took us 40 years, whatever.
Sorry about that, buddy.
You might have been your head scrambled and MK Ultra and all that stuff, but you were onto something in your, you know, technology is definitely getting to us.
Well, you know what? I was watching a documentary on the Unabomber way back in the day, and I thought the same thing, Charlie, in all seriousness. I was like, damn, this guy's not far off, is he?
No.
Right. he went to certain extremes, but gee, you know, like, I mean, he's not far off at all. And people, like, I have a love-hate relationship with technology, you know, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to do this. I wouldn't know Charlie Robinson if it wasn't for technology.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be able to do my show. I wouldn't connect with so many awesome freaking people. Right. So I love it. No, but I also realize the damage that it's doing. And my whole deal is, Charlie, is that I feel that technology is the Antichrist.
Ooh.
I really think it is. Like, and I don't think it's going to be a person. I don't think it, I mean, well, who knows? Maybe it's an AI. That comes up in the form of a person. I don't know. But I think technology as a whole is the Antichrist. We love it. We admire it. We want it. We stand online for it here in Fifth Avenue at the Apple store. You should see the lines that form when a new iPhone drops.
Yeah.
I'll take a picture for you next time. It's crazy.
With your iPhone.
With my iPhone. Yes. And I do exclusively Apple, by the way. So I'm talking to you on an iMac right now, but regardless, but I don't wait on lines for them, Charlie. Okay, I get them after the fact. All right, so just cut me some slack. But yeah, so people want this, you know, and that's what, you know, people are going to admire the Antichrist, right? They're going to love the Antichrist, and it's going to provide so much, but it's also the downfall of society.
Yeah,
right. And we can talk about that by you know, talking about the effects that technology just has on the health of a human being, for one. But two, it separates us from nature. And what's more connected to God than his creation?
Yep.
So this is the bootleg, in my opinion. We are creating, you know, when they say we want to be gods, and there are some people that actually want to be God, you know, Ray Kurzweil, people like that.
Yep.
They're achieving it through technological means, right? Or they're never going to achieve it, but they're attempting to achieve it through technological means. Technology is a knockoff of reality of nature.
Yeah,
it only serves it's a human way to replicate what nature already has, because we've lost our connection with nature. So we use technology as a crutch, and as a result, our brains are becoming mushy. Our bodies, unless you go work out, of course, but still, there's a lot of things that are going to be replaced with technology, and that's going to be good. It's going to be a good thing, right? Like when you have to get a liver replacement,
right?
And they're able to create one and give one to you, and you're functioning. That's fantastic. Go do it. You know, I'm not going to tell you not to, but you just realize the double-edged sword of this, right?
Yeah.
Like, and where it's taking us. And I think there was a fork in the road with humanity. And there was the technological and the natural, and we chose the technological, and we're so far down that road that there's no turning back at this point. Yeah. So I think this is the God of humanity, right? And it's the ultimate destruction of humanity is this technology, even though it's beautiful. Look at New York City, the skyline. You know, you go to freaking Tokyo and look at that, right? Toronto is fantastic. They got their own little Times Square. You go around the world, you see these technological marvels and these like marvels of architecture and all this stuff. And it's like, damn, this is amazing. Look what we've done. But damn, look what we've done.
Yeah.
You know, in a totally different sense. And we've become disconnected with the earth. And I really believe that it's like Wi-Fi. You know, and we use Wi-Fi, like consciousness is like Wi-Fi, I believe. Like we use Wi-Fi to connect with the computer, of course, or whatever, right? And it connects so many different things, right? Or like 5G, right? Is the it's the consciousness of the coming AI, right? Of the new world order, right? There is a consciousness for us. There is a Wi-Fi for us, but we've negated that. We've lost connection with it. So we've built our own.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, we walked into somebody else's Wi-Fi router and our phones connected to their router instead of our normal one, you know, and next thing you know, I feel like some people are getting a different signal than other people. Hmm. Some people out there are getting a signal that tells them that they are, that all hope is lost. And I'm seeing a lot of people not handling America 2.0 very well. They are coming unglued. We've seen like the recent support, you know, Supreme Court rulings on the Roe versus Wade thing, which is interesting because it's a pretty clear way of telling who is actually understanding things and who is just being, you know, emotional and hasn't really taken a look at this, because this is kind of an easy one. It's not America has banned abortions. It's just that they decided there it's not going to be a federal case. It's going to be a state case. And so you're going to have to deal with it on the state level instead of federal level, which is, it's just like, you can't go down this street because the street's closed. So you got to use that street.
Yeah.
And instead the people are going, you're not letting me go. You know, like they're just like, no, I'm just saying this street's closed. You just got to go use the next street over to get where you're trying to go. But they can't even be bothered with that. They're feeling like, you know, the government hates them, that the court system are, you know, I mean, these people, they've lost their minds. There's no connection to reality here. I wonder though, are they just in a state of mind where they're more easily programmed with this stuff? Because I'm living on the same planet, as far as I know, that these people are. I'm watching the same television news. I'm getting a totally different message from it than these people. I'm wondering, have their brains been hijacked? I mean, have they, you know, we're talking about technology and we're talking about the double-edged sword of it, but have they weaponized this technology to a point where people can't even think for themselves anymore?
I think everybody has been programmed. I think everybody's been hijacked to a certain degree. And some people have different programming than others. And what this Roe versus Wade thing, and we talked about this with Tony and Don and some of our guests on America Unplugged yesterday. What it served to do is divide. It's not really going to cause an uptick in births. At least I don't think so. We will see that, you know, we will see whether that's true or not. I don't think it's really going to change anything. You know, and having conversations with Tony, that's, you know, it became clear. I don't think it's going to change anything. But what is being done here is they're pouring cement on that dividing line. I mean, just pouring it on, because people that are on one side are going to double, triple and quadruple down, and people that are on the other side. So in the red and the blue, they're going to double, triple and quadruple down. This is what it serves to do, to solidify the divide. To make it even more adversarial. This solves nothing. You know, should it have been a federal issue? No, it shouldn't have been a federal issue, right? It should have been a state's issue from the beginning, right? But even that, Charlie, I may have some type of an issue with. I don't even think it should have been a state issue. I think people decide what they're going to decide, you know, and I understand. And I'm not pro-abortion, but I tell everybody this all the time when they ask me, I'm like, I'm not pro-abortion, but I'm pro-choice, right? You do what you want to do. And people are like, well, you're killing babies. You're killing. I'm like, well, you know, this is between the person that is getting this abortion and the Lord. It's between them. It's not between the government of the United States. It's not between the states, but the government of the actual state. And it's certainly not between you and them.
Yeah.
It's for them to decide. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But let's look at what's going on here. And the reason I say this is because we did a My Body, My Choice when it came to the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
My Body, My Choice. I know I was screaming it to the top of my lungs. My body, my choice. Right. And our rights were our voices and our rights were violated. They weren't taken into account at all. How do we expect our voices and our rights to be taken into account if we don't support the rights and voices of other people, you know, that are using the same argument, right? And people will say, well, that's not their body. That's something else, you know, and I think there should be limits to the time and where these people do what they do.
Right? Oh, for sure. Yeah, right?
Definitely. Like that's just the thing.
Yeah. You don't get to kill the baby after it's born. That's right. Murder.
That's out of the question. That's ridiculous.
You know, and
I think but even like, I mean, what is it? I think it's 24 weeks that they're using. I think it's like 15 weeks. And there's a lot of things that go on there, you know, and personally, I would not even want to deal with it. Right. It's something that's here and we have to deal with it as a people because it's here. Right. So, my problem is I don't want the government stepping in and telling me what to do.
Me either. Right. Anytime the government gets involved.
Right. That's my biggest
things issue. Get worse.
Exactly. And it's a slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope, regardless.
Right.
Of just in the best of circumstances. But then when you add the government into it, it makes everything worse. And
agreed.
Government-y, you know.
And you know, we say it here all the time. You know, I forget how the saying goes. I'm going to butcher this. Right. Like, they came for. Yeah. Whomever, and then they came for this people and I didn't care. And then they came for my next door neighbor and I didn't care. And then they came for me. And there was nobody there to look out for me. Well, it's the same thing here. They're coming for them right now. They're going to come for us. They've already done it with the vaccine. Mm-hmm. You know, we ultimately lost that battle for a lot of people.
Yep.
A lot of people were forced to take it, whether they went voluntarily to sit down and roll up their sleeve, they did it for a reason. They did it. A lot of people, especially here in New York, like you'd be surprised. And this is, you know, the most liberal state. You'd be surprised how many people didn't want to take that vaccine. They just did it because they had to. And you know, they rolled up their sleeves and went over there and took it. And they were like, I feel disgusting. I can't believe I just did this, but I have to pay my bills.
Yeah,
they're being forced to do it.
Yeah.
You know, they're being forced to do it. It's like you have a gun to your head, you know? So, there's a lot of people here that wanted to separate themselves from the situation and didn't want to have anything to do with it. But we need, it's united. We stand, we need to come together and in the way that we come together, we may not agree on everything, but we have to agree on liberty and we have to agree on our right, our sovereignty. We have to agree on that together in order to push back on those who seek to impose their will on us.
Yeah.
We have to. Otherwise, we're going to lose, right? We're going to lose a hot war with these people. We don't get into hot wars with these people because we're going to lose. That's not the way to do it.
Right.
But if we don't come together, we're going to lose also. There's not, it's like the Infinity Wars movie. I don't know if you saw it. With all the Marvel superheroes. I forget the exact movie, but Doctor Strange was running through all these scenarios on how they could defeat Thanos and win. There was about like a 1% chance or just one scenario out of millions that saw them coming out on top. That's where we are.
Yeah.
We need to have all the right elements in place to come out on top. And these people are being so successful at dividing us, in particular with issues like this one.
Yeah.
You know, and you talked about the program. I think all of us have been programmed.
Yeah, we all have, for sure. Yeah,
I think all of us have been programmed. And sure, like some things will look to us and be like, how the hell will these people subscribe to that?
Yeah.
You know, to tranny story time. Who subscribes to that? Right? Like there's a problem there.
Yeah.
Clearly. But we fail to realize what it is that's ridiculous about what we subscribe to. Or that is not right. You know, and we need to be self-reflective.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what I'm trying to do here. And people will be like, oh, well, you know, with the abortion issue. Well, you know, we just can't because X, Y, and Z. I'm like, you know, at the bottom line is this, like, this technology is out there. This is something that they're doing. It's their personal decision. You know, I would personally like for them to sit down and see, their options and maybe get better educated on the adverse effects of a procedure like that. Because cancer goes up several times. Your chances of getting some type of cancer after you've had an abortion, you know, all of that, you know, but ultimately, if we're going to be successful and we're going to, push back on things like vaccines and anything else they try to force upon us, we need to realize that even if we don't like it, we need to respect their decision, and that is their decision. And if they're gonna go to, if you're religious, it's a moral issue, and if they're gonna go to hell over it, the Lord's gonna freaking fix that, right? If that's the deal, that's between them and the Lord. It's not between me and them. It's just not. It's,
yeah.
It's right? That's just the way I look at it.
But there's an underlying flaw that we all have, and that is that we're only as good as the information that we get, right? And
where do we get our information from?
And some of these people are out there making the most informed decision they can make based on faulty information. You know, they're going to go out there and they're going to say, well, fine, Billy Ray, you're right. I should examine this. Give me all the information you can on these vaccines that the CDC's put out and Pfizer's put out. And I'm going to read through all of them. And I read through all of them. And everything I read through says it's fine and safe and effective and totally not going to be a problem. So I read all that and I did my work and I put in the due diligence and I did what I was supposed to do. And I read all their material and it was all lies. And I went and I got the injection and now I have all these issues, you know?
Right.
So even when you like we have to be careful of the source of the information.
Absolutely.
We have to be careful about, like, you know, because there's one group of people that are saying, no, all these puberty blocking hormones and transitioning drugs and all that stuff, these are safe and effective. And you go, oh, where have I heard that before? And they say, well, listen, there's no side effects. You can restart puberty if you change your mind later, which is a lie. You know, I have all of these things. So it's like, first of all, in order to even have the conversation, we have to make sure that we're getting like the best information, and that's difficult. So it's no wonder everyone's screwed up. I mean, you've got some people out there raw dogging life, not checking any warning labels, not reading anything, not doing any, you know, not paying attention to anything. Just they're just going for it. They don't care about anything. They're not paying attention. Then you've got other people that are super, you know, paranoid, and they want to read up on everything, like us, that we're hardcore paranoid because of all the stuff we know, and we're reading all this information. And there's got to be a middle ground, right? There's got to be a middle ground where you like take in the best information you can, run some sort of calculation, and then do whatever you do, make the best decision you can make based on the information you have at that current moment. But even then, we're all going to make mistakes. So I just wonder how this, how are we going to even survive moving forward when our sources of information have all been poisoned by these people?
Well, you know, the information goes back to where we get it from, or what our sources and the media, right? And the mainstream and people in the alternative community like to say, we can't trust the mainstream. We can't see them. And they're right. Right. But where do we get our information from? Even with the points that we debate and argue about on our shows and amongst each other, We get it from the mainstream.
Yeah.
So where's the manipulation coming from? Right. We get it all from the mainstream. The difference is our ultimate conclusion on those supposed facts, if they're facts, we don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's the difference. What we think is being done as a result of all of that, and what they think is being done as a result of all of that, right? And a lot of people are just going to take the information and say, yes, this is true, and go ahead and do what they want to do. But where does the mind control come from also? It comes from there. It comes from the media, right? It comes from the internet. It comes from social media platforms, all of this, right? So you think you're making an informed decision, right? And a lot of people pride themselves and think they're making an informed decision. But an informed decision, the definition of an informed decision to most is very different from the definition of an informed decision for you and I and the people listening, you know? We're very different. Not to say that we're better. We're different. It's different, you know. And we try, and we get caught up in crap all the time. You know, we get caught up with faulty information all the time, you know, and things that aren't right, you know. So we have to use our discernment and hope for the best when it comes to a situation like this. What's up? I hear you.
Well, it's made me think of this, because we were talking about grocery stores and everything, and I've used this sort of idea, this concept of like information sausage, where it's all getting blended in, the truth and lies and everything. The general public goes to the grocery store, and when you're buying like ground beef, there's an option that's like 28%, you know, 28% fat, you know, and some people see that and they go, well, it's the cheapest. Yeah, it's got the most fat. But I'm willing to accept 28% fat because I need ground beef. I maybe don't have the best budget. I don't have the best time, and this qualifies, and I'll take it. Then there are other people that are like, no, my standards of quality for this ground beef are much higher. Right. I will only buy the kind that is 7% fat. Right. And I buy that. I pay more for it. It looks better. It is better. Right. I need that. So we make these calculations on the quality level that we're willing to accept. Mm-hmm. And you and I, and it's not to say that we're better. Again, I'm not trying to say that, but when it comes to we're information quality snobs in that sense, that in that I'm going to need the 7% fat level on this, not the 20. And I'm willing to examine it closely because I know what I'm looking for.
Right.
And if I see the bullshit, I'm not buying it. And so we have just set our standards a little bit higher.
Right.
Again, not better. I don't think it's worse, but it's not necessarily better. That's just our thing. We need more quality information.
I think you're absolutely right. Right. And it's a dope analogy. I'm going to take that analogy. Right. And so there's the 20% fat, and the people that are buying the 20% fat because, you know, it might be a little cheaper. You get more of it. Right. And you know, it's fine. It's fine for them. And we are the information junkies that are like, you know what? We're going to go for the 7% fat. Some of us aren't even going to go for the ground beef. We're going to go get the bison. Yeah. Let's get bison meat. And let's get some lamb, you know?
Okay.
But we're still getting it from the same place.
Ah, there you go.
Right.
There you go. So we're still buying it from the same store that's selling all this stuff.
Right. Gotcha. Right. And that is my ultimate realization here. Well, we're still operating within this box that's been laid out for us to operate in. And I don't know, you know, people will come and say, hey, solutions. I don't have one for you. My whole deal is hoping that people realize it. I guess that's the first step, right? Yeah. Realizing that you have a problem is the first step. So
that's what they say.
Right.
We're perfect. So, we wouldn't know, but from what we hear,
right,
they say the first step is to,
right. Exactly. So that's what I hope to achieve, right? To have people like realize, okay, here's what we're dealing with. And we're being manipulated either way, and somebody still gets paid, and it's the same person, you know. And until we come together and say, listen, like, we need more options. We need something different. We either force them to give us something different or create something different of our own.
Right.
And I think the best route is to create our own, because we can never trust them. You understand? And there's a lot of people out there. Like, I mean, going back to the analogy, you can go to a farm.
Yeah.
You know, and get some, you know, good quality stuff, get some nice eggs, you know, and some lean meat and all that other stuff, right? Some chickens. That's what we have to create. We have to create more of that, you know, because if we continue to go back to the same source, we're going to get manipulated either way. And I think a lot of us, myself included, are being manipulated in, you know, like, I think the mind control is real. You know, I think it's responsible for the divide here in this country, the left-right paradigm. Mm-hmm. You think people, any changes in abortion isn't going to change the minds of anybody. Any changes in gun laws isn't going to change the minds of anybody. Joe Biden and Donald Trump aren't going to change the minds of anyone. People are stuck where they are. There mm-hmm. are. This is a generalization. Of course, there are exceptions to the rule. There are people that are moving towards the middle, you know, and saying, OK, this is all bullshit, which is dope. Right.
Yeah.
But there are so many people on one side and the other. And in my lifetime, I've never seen it like this.
Yeah, it's pretty polarizing.
Right. Go ahead.
Well, I the reason why I came up, got on that ground beef analogy was because there had been, you know, when I was writing about the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, which allowed for a certain percentage of propaganda to be used in America. Right. And that if you were thinking of it like you were making information sausage, you know, there's a certain amount of lies that goes into it, but it all gets ground together, and then it's like good luck trying to figure out what's there and what's not. And I made the distinction in I think it was in the Controlled Demolition book, I called it disinformation crickets. And what that was that's like in America, and I'm sure it's probably this way elsewhere as well, but in America, when you're like a big factory and you make peanut butter, there's a certain percentage of insects that are allowed to in the peanut butter. Now they make it in these gigantic vats, and there's allowed to be X number of crickets. So I was describing them as disinformation crickets. They're in the peanut butter. You just don't know where they are. That's all I'm saying. Is that a lot of us we've got our information.
Yeah.
And we're at this proverbial grocery store and we're trying to find the best quality information. But like you mentioned, we're still in that grocery store. We're still there. And as long as we're still there, we're still going to be shopping from the same wholesalers that bring the stuff in. And it's the same. It's just the same lies packaged up different. This is better quality bullshit. This is better, you know, and we're arguing over who's got the best info when we're all getting it from the same place.
Exactly. And I feel like that's what it is, that's what CNN is. That's what Fox News is. And to even a lesser extent, OAN, Newsmax, all of these places, the Drudge Report, you know, where the most, mind control, and call it whatever you want, right? I watch CNN. I go to Drudge all the time. I listen to Tucker Carlson on Fox. You know, I consume it all just to know what I'm dealing with. You know, I listen to InfoWars, you know, and sometimes I get triggered when I hear freaking Michael Flynn on or something like that, but I listen to it. You know, I pay attention to everything. I try to anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
me too.
This is where the mind control comes in. And, you know, I always harp on Cambridge Analytica. I always have to go back to that because it's the example that really changed my paradigm yet again. You know, I've been doing this for about almost 6 years now, you know, and I thought I was awake to use for lack of a better term. You know, I thought I was, I had it all figured out, and getting involved and doing, you know, a podcast and interviewing so many different people, I started to realize that I had no idea what the fuck was going on. But after Cambridge hit, that's when I'm like, whoa, that was validation. That was telling me, damn, you really don't know what the hell is going on and how many of your thoughts are actually your own.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, my Lord, I'm like, you know, because they had 5,000 data points on every American that they got from social media, you know, and they were able to manipulate perception, and they'd had done it for quite some time. You know, the SEL group, the parent company of Cambridge Analytica, had been running these type of ops in Africa and the Caribbean for a long time before Cambridge Analytica came about, you know, and that's what they were doing. And according to them, it's self-described as military grade mind control. Linked it to the British Crown. Go look this up. I'm not making it up.
No, it's okay. Yeah, it's a real thing. They're good at it. They know. They have a Tavistock Institute and Royal Institute of International Affairs. They have the infrastructure to create something like this.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's not surprising.
No. So and they've been manipulating perception that way. They've been getting people to support certain political causes, to support revolutions around the world, simply by presenting an idea in a palatable way, a way that's digestible, you know, and they know. And by they, I don't just mean Cambridge Analytica. This is a thing now. There's tons of companies that do this now. The army just put out a recruitment video.
The
Ghost in the Machine.
Yeah,
well done. It was
super scary. Would have been
amazing. Everyone's like, I watch it just for kicks. What's up?
Everyone's like, I can't wait for this video game to come out.
She's gonna be dope, Charlie. I can't wait for it to come out.
This new Marvel movie looks amazing. Wait, what? It's the U.S. military saying, "We're coming for you. We're spying on you. We're listening to you. We know what you're doing." You know,
and that's the thing, Charlie. I mean, full transparency. Yeah. The veil has come off. They took off the mask. For those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, here you go. I mean, what else is that? What else was that video telling us that they know everything, that everything
we threat. Touch?
Yeah.
I took it as a threat. Some people are like, oh, look at this great recruitment video. I'm like, it's a threat.
No, it's a threat. It's a warning.
It's a warning.
No, it's both, you know, like they're warning us that. Well, maybe it's not a warning. Maybe it's just a threat now that I think about it. You know, they're telling us,
hey, if you have figured this out, it is a threat.
Right.
For those of you that haven't figured it out yet, it's just a cool video that we made that shows what we're into.
And it's telling people, literally, I'm sorry, Charlie, let me make this point, please. And I'll throw it right back. It's literally telling people that they are fully surveilled, that they are fully controlled, and in any area of their life, it may not be what you think it is. They literally said a pen is a weapon. Anything we touch can be a weapon. We are behind the bushes. We are invisible. We do what we want. Telling you this openly. You know, and so the concept that we've had here in the alternative media of mind control and MK Ultra, and we get ridiculed for this shit. This is a proven fact at this point. Admitted by U.S. military. Admitted by the army at this point. Yeah. It's been admitted for a long time. But this is the most recent incarnation that you can use as an example of what they feel they can do. And if they can really pull that stuff off, we need to really think about what we're thinking and where those thoughts come from. It's like Inception, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is a reality. And it's only going to get worse moving forward. This is what I mean by the world is closing in on.
Well, it reminds me of two different politicians that had comments that were unusual. One was Daniel Inouye from Hawaii, who was talking years ago saying there is a government inside the government that has its own air forces, funding mechanisms, and its own army. And then there was Bill Clinton when he came out and said, well, there is a government inside a government outside of the government, and I don't control that one.
Wow.
So there's something going on that is beyond the government and beyond the media. And it is like you said, it's the mind control component to this that is fascinating. You know, I mean, like as podcasters, as a writer, it's fascinating. I wish we weren't going through it, but it's really interesting. You know, it's like a blending of science fiction. It's a Tom Clancy movie. You know, it's all these things kind of like in real life.
And yes.
And so that to me is interesting, but I get creeped out by it real fast, because it'd be more interesting to me if the people that were in charge of it were nice people. The problem is when you get all of this writing about talking about how it would be so much better if 90% of the people on this planet were gone, and how the highest order of the United States foreign policy, according to Henry Kissinger, should be that of depopulation of the third world countries and stuff like that. My mind goes to like the worst possible places there, but we have entered a really strange world where we have to consider the very real possibility that the thoughts in our head are no longer our own. And that is, I think scary. That might be terrifying to most people. I think it should be.
It's the ultimate conspiracy, isn't it?
Oh God, you know, they're in our heads.
And you said something, you're like, you know, this is life. That's what it is. This is life, right? Like, we can go to the cinema to be entertained, or we can turn on Netflix and watch Black Mirror. Not Netflix so much right now, but you can watch Black Mirror on the BBC, right?
Yeah.
And be like, whoa, that is crazy. Look at that. That's, you know, so unimaginable. Well, it's here now. You know, it's here now. We're living it. And in a way, it is very scary, right? And it is, daunting, and it's a lot to digest, but I look at it as a freaking privilege, right? Yeah. It's a privilege to be here at this time with all of you, even though things might get really screwed up, even though things might get very scary, things might hurt, right? And you get those feelings of pain and anger and all these, you know, negative, what we perceive to be negative feelings.
Right.
It is a privilege to be here and play a part in what's going on, and realize that this stuff is going on around you. The experience of life is crazy. Right. It's, you don't have to go into the metaverse.
No,
right. You don't have to. Life is that times a billion.
Yeah.
Because it's real.
Yeah.
So these people are trying to manipulate us. We realize that they're trying to manipulate us, and we're trying to push back. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to get good sources of information. And while we're not fighting a physical war, and I never want to do that. Okay, and I'm very grateful to people that have, like, brave people like Tony Atterburn who've gone there and done this stuff. I could never do anything like that. Can't, right? But I don't want to either. You know, not that I don't know who wants to. I guess some people do, but regardless, this experience is a privilege from God. It is a privilege to know you, Charlie Robinson, and sit here and talk to you about this and talk to your audience. It's a privilege that everybody can hear me right now. You know, it's a privilege that we're doing something to try to help people other than ourselves, whomever that might be. It might be one person, 1,000 people, you know, 20,000 people, you know, but we're still doing it. So while stuff is getting crazier, I wouldn't want to be alive in any other time. I'm here now. I'm here for this reason. For whatever reason, the Lord put me on this earth, and I am happy and I accept it. You know, things are going to be bad. Things aren't going to be great all the time. I'm going to experience a lot of pain, and everybody is, right? It's the reality of life. I am grateful for those experiences, even though I don't want them. You know, when they come, I'm grateful for them. So I'm very, very excited to be here right now. And as things progress, it's just more that we get to experience, more that we get to feel, more that we get to learn, right? With the experience comes the knowledge, and that's what it's all about, in my opinion.
Well, you wouldn't know the good times if you didn't have the bad times, right? As the, to contrast those things. This is why I wanted you on, man. This is why I wanted you on, because when you, in your show, The Infinite Fringe, man, you guys get into this. You go deep into the vibe and what people are feeling and how they're doing it. And I just really respect the work that you're doing.
I think it's amazing.
Tell people where they can find you if they want to catch up with you and your outstanding work.
Well, I really respect you, as you know, Mr. Charlie Robinson, the hardest working man in the alternative
That's
media.
What you say every time. He is 100%.
I remember, and I still do this, man. I get invited to do a guest spot, you know, at a new show that I've never heard of before. And they're like, hey, come on, you know. I'm like, oh, what's up, man? Who have you had on? Charlie Robinson. He's been, you know, it's like I'm following him all the time. So I tell him, I'm like, he's the roadrunner and I'm Wile E. Coyote, super genius, you know, that always loses.
But
regardless, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come talk to you, man. I appreciate it every time I can do it. We do, you know, the Infinite Fringe. I've been doing it for about 5 years. Content. I haven't been putting it out as much as I should be, but I'm trying to pick that up a little bit. You will get something every month at the very least if you subscribe. The Infinite Fringe .podbeam.com and The Infinite Fringe on Apple Podcast. And of course, we do America Unplugged with my boys, Mr. Tony Atterburn and Don Jeffries, the legendary. We sit there and we talk. Charlie joins us semi-regularly, actually. You know, it's probably due to come back at some point. So that's over on AmericaUnplugged.com, AmericaUnpluggedRadio.com. They'll both take you to the same place. Subscribe to the podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you can find podcasts. And it's live on 12 p.m. Eastern. Saturdays on Rockfin. So go check it. It's fun. It's fun. And eventually you'll see Charlie there at some point.
Well, this audience knows Tony Atterburn, who has been on and also is a sponsor through Wise Wolf Gold and Silver.
Right.
And Don Jeffries has been on as well. And we love Don. And obviously you. So yeah, everyone. So America Unplugged is a great show. I love it. And yes, I've been on it before. So support the people that are out there doing the great work. Billy Ray, you are the best. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate everything that you do.
You are much too kind, sir. And let me tell you, when we started America Unplugged, it started on Iconic. Mm-hmm. And Don Jeffries, it was me and Don Jeffries. And Charlie was, hey, I got you when you need me. All the time. That's why I love Charlie. He's like, when you need me, I got you. I try not to bother him because he is the hardest working man in podcasting in general, you know. So I try not to bother him, but he does come on whenever I ask. He always makes time. So thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, for listening to what I had to say today.
And if you like this episode, take the additional step right this second of sharing it with your friends and family. If you want to connect with me, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. And you can follow me on Twitter @macroaggression. We will talk to you all soon.